$20,000 Bitcoin on sale.
People think that deflation is bad.
I think we're about to have a lot of fun.
You can't collaborate with everyone in the industry.
So I'm really excited. I cannot wait to see what else the universe has in store for us.
There was no project manager. There was no CEO that said, make this happen.
You know, my dad called me this morning and said Bitcoin was down. You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season 4 and we've moved to Noster City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Noster is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Noster is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Noster will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Noster City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course we're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
So we have a big announcement today.
Big for who?
Big for us. It's not really going to affect anyone listening.
Okay.
Unless they're just extremely happy and excited for us. We are packing up all our stuff today because we are going to go to Madeira tomorrow for 6 weeks. And why is that, Ian? Why are we going to Madeira, Portugal for 6 weeks?
We're going to Madeira because we've been invited to participate in the Sovereign Engineering Program. That's been going on there for like the past year and a half. I had applied when they first announced it, but at the time, new dad, new baby, and you were still employed. I guess I was still employed.
You were still employed too.
I was still employed, but that was like, I was ready to quit then. But yeah, so when I first applied, I kind of pitched the Attention Marketplace, and I think they thought that was a pretty cool idea. You know, we've kept in touch over the past like year and a half. And so right around the time that you were talking about quitting your job, or we had decided that you were going to quit, we were, you know, kind of saying, oh, we should go somewhere. Like we don't have to be in the States to like build Next Block. And right about that time was when MW, I won't say his real name, but MW messaged me and was like, hey, are you coming? And so like,
it was
like,
actually, I guess we could.
Yeah, actually we can. Both of us are free and it'll be good to participate in the Noster development community. Obviously, I have a lot of ideas about Noster development. You have a lot of ideas about Noster development. Normally, something like this would be like over a weekend or maybe like a week, maybe tops. And I just really like the format of this. It's more about like ideation. It's more about like, we don't know. We're not going there to build something in particular. You kind of ideate with other developers and people who are thinking about the space. And you just see what you can do. But really about building, I believe, building trust and like a network of people who are like, yeah, you're a real person. I know what you're thinking about and what you're working on. I may or may not think it's going to work. But like, you're not just a random face on Noster saying, I think it should be like this. Right.
It's a big decision, but it's somewhat obvious decision. It makes a lot of sense for us. And I'm really excited for us to test out this digital nomad life. Not that we want to be nomads. We really like our home base, but to really feel what is possible when you work for yourself. As we join this global community of people trying to build cool stuff with Bitcoin and Noster, I think we're about to have a lot of fun. But before we really get into what's all about to happen or what we think is about to happen, what time is it, babe?
The current time is 885-413, and I don't have my spreadsheet, so I don't know how long it's been since our last recording, but I know it's been more than 1,000 blocks.
It has. And if I give you $1, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island right now?
Today, you can get 1,139 acres, aka Satoshis, on sunny Bitcoin Island.
Bitcoin's kind of on sale. For recent prices, Bitcoin's on sale.
From its all-time high, Bitcoin is down about 20%. From when I first heard about Bitcoin, Bitcoin is up. It is not on sale.
I know. You know, it's really funny because yesterday I was visiting a friend to say bye before we go on this trip because I'm very attached to my friends. 6 weeks is a long time. And she was like, you know, my dad called me this morning and said Bitcoin was down. That's like how much people in my extended community, I guess you could say, are tracking Bitcoin because they know we're all in on Bitcoin, but they don't have Bitcoin. I just thought it was the sweetest thing that my best friend's dad was like, oh, you're seeing Mandana today, but Bitcoin is down. And but it's so funny because I had no idea. I pulled up the price in front of her and my immediate reaction was like, yes, great. It's down. That's awesome. And she was like, huh? And I was like, yeah, no, this is really great. And I was thinking about, you know, recent purchases we've made with our Bitcoin and this and that. And I was like, nice, nice. Like literally she was just watching me like, okay. And I was like, no, this is great. This is great. Okay, cool. Maybe I should buy some more. Like that's what I was going on in my head for like a minute. And then I got back to the conversation. So I thought that was really funny. I was like, this is the dip we needed.
It's not the dip we need, it's the dip we deserve.
That's true. Let it go down to 20. Let everyone be like, poor Mandana and Ian, put all their eggs in this basket. Now see what happened. And we'll just be like, $20,000 Bitcoin on sale.
Obviously, because of price movements, I've gotten some text messages as well. It's always the price movement that gets people's attention. Without getting into details, you know, there was a big hack recently. It was not a hack on Bitcoin, but it was a hack on fundamentally the Ethereum network. And shortly after that, the price of Bitcoin goes down. And I saw a lot of people talking about, you know, different things and different YouTube videos or whatever. But the one that got me was this guy, Matthew Kratter, Bitcoin University. And the title of his video was "Even Criminals Don't Like Monero." Right. So these guys stole a bunch of Ethereum and they didn't try to sell the Ethereum. They didn't hold on to the Ethereum. They immediately tried to move it into Bitcoin. So even the criminals that are stealing your crypto, they want Bitcoin. Everyone wants Bitcoin. So why is Bitcoin down? You just stole a bunch of Ethereum and you're trying to move it into Bitcoin. You're probably also trying to move that Bitcoin again and again and again and again and try to wash it through the network in some way. And so basically, I don't know, I think it was like $1 billion. Of Ethereum that was stolen, or 1.5 billion. It was a lot of money.
Wow.
If that amount of Bitcoin just became like available and people are selling it to try to buy whatever they're buying it for, mm-hmm. because, you know, they stole the money to begin with. They're choosing to do that with Bitcoin. Yeah. So your cousin was talking to me about this conversation he was having with one of his friends. And this guy was trying to convince him about XRP. And I just kept saying like, oh, I'm sorry. What's the first XRP country in the world? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, like, what are all the books written about XRP? Where are all the XRP conferences? Where's all the stuff that tells you that that people are putting time and energy into it and it's not just a financial company putting time and energy into it? And so this hack like happened right after that. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. They didn't try to convert their stolen Ethereum into XRP. Like there's a lot of reasons that people could pay attention to Bitcoin, but it always seems to be the price. Right. To your point. Oh, Bitcoin's down. That's the only thing that gets through to people.
They don't understand what Bitcoin is. They view it still as a stock.
I mean, there's that. But also when they're telling you the price is down, what they're really saying is that it takes less dollars to acquire Bitcoin today. Mm-hmm. And in their mind, that's a bad thing. If you say those two things separately, that's a bad thing. It takes less dollars to get Bitcoin today than it did yesterday. That's a bad thing. But if I told you it takes less dollars to get a house, you know, today than yesterday, is that a good thing or a bad thing? If it takes less dollars to get a car tomorrow, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like people think that deflation is bad. Now, Bitcoin is a deflationary asset by design because it's finite. It's just deflating everything else. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious when like that side of the internet or that part of our life is like, oh, Bitcoin is down. Is now a good time for me to buy? Right?
It'll
like that's
take
the
some time to get there.
That's the sentence. You know, I think your aunt and you know my uncle are probably the two leading candidates for thinking like that. You know, at family dinner, your aunt was saying, "Oh, I'm going to wait for it to go down,"
and she
I'm
was
like,
right.
I mean, I didn't say she was wrong. I just said like, I mean, it could be tomorrow or it could be May.
It's a gamble. It's a gamble to wait for a dip. But of course, if the dip is happening and you're waiting for it to go down a little bit more, even that's a gamble. So yeah, buying strategy is one thing where someone believes in Bitcoin and they want to hold Bitcoin. It's another thing when well-intentioned people who aren't necessarily in Bitcoin but are following it just because they love us and then they panic because it dropped. It's like, we're fine. This is a good thing. We're all good.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an M pub, and just start with that.
Yeah. So I think maybe a month ago, I decided I was going to quit my job. And then a week later, Ian and I were like, oh, wait, we don't have to be here anymore. We could go live somewhere else. We could do that cool lifestyle of, you know, renting a house in some other country, bringing my parents so they can watch our child, and Ian and I could just work. And so I think for about an hour, we were looking into that. You know, Costa Rica is our vacation country. And so we were looking at that and we were like, well, dang, a last minute trip to Costa Rica right before spring break is not the best idea price-wise. And we're just like looking up rentals. And then Ian just looks at me and he goes, no, we're going to Madeira. And I said, huh? And he said, that program, it's starting back up again. I think it starts back in March. That's what we're going to do. And I think the next morning, Ian was like, no, that's this. We're doing this. And then there was kind of like this week that we had of like, yeah, we're doing this, but Mandana needs to leave her job. We also have a ton of stuff that we have to do actually work-wise for next block. And then a week later, it was like, boom, 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 booking everything. And it was like, boom, 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 explaining to my parents that they're coming with us. Ooh, we could talk a lot about the act of quitting your job and leaving your career and going to work for yourself. Like that's its own experience that I don't even think I should reflect on yet until I've lived it for a while. But getting all of that done at the same time, trying to book and figure out this 6-week trip, figuring out what the heck we're going to do with our toddler. Like if you have a kid at this age, it's like a transition stage. So he's like leaving his crib, going in a toddler bed, like nonsense like that I had to figure out. The car seat, you know, those things. How on earth do you travel with a 2-year-old? But after a couple of days, we figured that whole thing out. Today we are packing and tomorrow we fly out. It's all happening. And while Ian was very decidedly like, this is what we're doing. It's going to be really good for us. It's going to be good for me as a developer to be meeting with other developers and really asking the questions that I'm just not able to get answers on the internet. But then also for me to be able to come into that space as well, officially work on Next Block and be able to talk to other people about our idea and also ideate with other people, which I haven't really had the opportunity to do that. Ian's been able to do all of that, of course, digitally, but also for us to test out this theory of like, could we be a sovereign family? Whatever that means, right? For us to be able to pick up and go wherever we want to go, live wherever we want, be able to work and be productive for our company and what we're building. Will it be comfortable for my parents? Will taking care of our child in that environment also allow us to spend more time with him? You know, there's so many things that we want to test out that theoretically, you know, being a Bitcoiner or having a Bitcoin company, all of those things, you know, we hear other people are able to live that way. And so I'm really excited to see. I've never taken more than 3 weeks off to do anything since I was 12. I've been working since I was 12. I've never, ever had time off. I've never, ever not been attached to an institution where I was required to be somewhere at a certain time. I've never traveled without restrictions, I guess to say. And my parents have definitely never traveled this way. So I'm just so excited to be able to give them that. They, you know, they do so much for us. And because of Bitcoin and because of this really cool idea that we have in this company that we're trying to build, we're able to possibly design, not even possibly, we are, we're designing a new life for ourselves, a life that works for us, that makes sense for us outside of what has been designed for us by other people. It's really exciting. And I'm more excited than scared, obviously, because I'm doing it with Ian and I'm also doing it with my parents. So like what more security would a almost 40-year-old woman want to jump out and just go for it and do whatever I want? I'm so excited about it to actually like live what we have been telling people could be possible if you just hold Bitcoin for a while.
Yeah, hopefully this works out that way.
Yeah, theoretically. If it doesn't work and it's a bust, it's a bust. But I want to get back to this program that we're going to. It's called Sovereign Engineering. It started about a year and a half ago. There have been 3 other times that people have come together in this program. And so this is the 4th time. There are supposed to be some people that are returning, which I think proves that it's a good model. For collaboration, and it's been fruitful enough for people to come back. But I'm really excited because we have gone to 2 conferences. We've gone to 2 Bitcoin event conferences, but even before that, earlier last year, we went to that halving event. And Bitcoiners that go to these global events live very free lives, right? So, you know, you go, you meet people, you're connecting, and then the reason you came to that place is ending. But then they'll say, oh, we're going to go here now. You guys want to come with us? And they're like, you know, they're going to a neighboring town, going to post up there for a week. And Ian and I would always be like, no, we have to go back to our lives. We have a baby. We have jobs. And, you know, they would kind of look at us like, oh, well, that sucks. Bye. And now possibly we could say, yeah, I guess we could come along. Sure. I can't even imagine living that way. I've always seen other people, honestly, with generational wealth who have from a very early age been able to live that way. And I just can't believe that that's going to be us or possibly going to be us. I'm beyond excited, a little overwhelmed, but why not us? Why couldn't we do this?
Full disclosure, we're coming back after Madeira.
Of course we're coming back.
We're not jetting off to BTC something in Europe.
I love my life. I'm happy to come back to it. But just no restrictions, babe. What's that going to feel like? I can't wait. I can't wait to feel it.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub. And just start with that.
So let's talk about being a Bitcoin developer or possibly now being a Nostr developer in that world and why programs like this are so valuable. I'm thinking like most people like you learn about this technology. I'm just going to say the basement. They're sitting in their basements, talking to other people in their basements around the world, trying to get this stuff done. And this idea of coming together in one space and busting out ideas. One of the questions that a lot of people I've been telling this program about, you know, hey, we're going somewhere for 6 weeks. There's a couple of questions. Are they paying you? Are you paying them? Why would someone come and work with someone else on an idea like this? Why would anyone come to this place? Are they expecting money? You know, those are the questions I've been getting. And so I would love for you to answer those questions of what are the incentives behind why someone would come to a program like this, and why would they want to work on someone else's idea?
I think the first misconception to dispel is why would someone work on someone else's idea? This is a very Silicon Valley mindset. This is a very, we'll just say legacy mindset of I'm trying to create the best silo with the best moat where you can't compete with me. And I'm just going to box you out of whatever idea I've created. And you see that with specifically with social media, right? Like you can't, you know, Elon Musk was like, we're not even letting links to Substack work on Twitter for a while, right? They have that level of control. But Nostr, the technology, kind of flips that idea on its head. And it basically says that your idea isn't even valid unless someone else is like integrating it into their app, right? It's not so much that they're working on your idea with you. It's that how do I integrate your idea into my thing?
Saying you can build the coolest thing, but if no one else likes it or understands it or sees value in it, it's dead on arrival.
I mean, it could be that they see a tremendous amount of value and it's impossible to integrate into what already they've built, right? There's a lot of reasons why someone won't integrate. And that is to a certain extent why we had to create Nextblock. We need to be the first and then get someone else to integrate when they see that it's working versus convincing someone to integrate something that hasn't been proven and people are struggling just to keep their Nostr clients from like crashing on a weekly basis from some new version of the hell thread. So that idea of why would someone help you? Because people want to help. You know, having worked at tech companies for a while and having worked in engineering departments, you kind of have, I don't say a leash, but you have a leash around you in the sense that you can't collaborate with everyone in the industry. Right? Like you can't just say, for example, oh, I have a problem and I want to use X to solve it. Well, if you have to pay to use X, number one, not X the company, but just the verb or the variable X. If you want to use some other company's solution to solve it, you usually have to pay them, number one. Number two, no one lets you pay on like a pay once and use forever model. So it's obviously a recurring subscription of some sort. And number three, like, It's not really a collaboration. It's usually the other person saying, here's how my thing works, and you use it or you don't. Maybe if it's not working, I'll fix a thing that you find that's broken. But like at my last job, we were forced to use an API of a company that was terrible. Like it was just terrible. And no one wanted to use it. No one liked it. But it was the only, like, I'll just say option that fit all the boxes of cost, speed, and usability or whatever.
Could we take a step back and you talk a little bit more about what it means to collaborate as developers and not in possibly like a for-profit or fiat model, however we want to describe that, but in the ideal sense of how you as a developer that's trying to build something would want to collaborate with someone else? Is it like, I want to be able to talk through everything that I'm building and have someone else almost look over it or like you see it so that I'm not missing something? Or is it that you would want to build it together? Like, or is it either or? Like, what does that mean, right? I'm not a developer, so I'm not exactly sure what the ideal is that possibly this program helps you achieve.
Right. So this goes back to the Noster protocol itself. The thing that you're mostly collaborating on is the underlying data that's going to power the idea. I'll use a good example of Zaps, right? Like the best feature of Noster.
Yeah.
Shout out to Will. So with Zaps, in the very beginning, people were posting Lightning invoices as the text of a note. And then someone wrote code that was like, okay, I'm going to look at the note and parse it. And if I see that there's a Lightning invoice in it, I'm going to display a button. Right. So that you can, this can be easier. You don't have to copy and paste. I'll display a button. And then someone else said, okay, well, I'm going to do this when I see this, and I'm going to do that when I see this. And slowly over time, we evolved into this now ubiquitous Lightning button in all of the Noster apps where it works the way that first implementation worked, but no one sat down and said it needs to work like this. It just slowly evolved into, okay, zapping is the equivalent of liking. And so it needs to go in the same space to reflect that it's an action on a post and all this fun stuff. There was no project manager. There was no CEO that said, make this happen. I'm sure someone at like, you know, for example, Domus or Primal or something like that was like, we need to put this in also. But like they didn't have to, right? They don't have to do those things. But when they start doing it, and this gets to your collaboration point, when they start trying to integrate, perhaps there's additional data that they need to make it work in their system. Or perhaps the data that they have is not formatted correctly, or it would be better if it was formatted correctly. That's the type of collaboration to me that is most important on Noster, is what is the best shape of this data so that it works for all of us and all the things that we're trying to do. And so basically with that idea, plus what I said earlier of If your idea isn't in two different apps and you really don't have a thing, you're not necessarily trying to get someone to work on your thing with you. You're trying to get someone to tell you what they would need for it to work in their thing also if they're interested in integrating. And the idea is that what you come out with, a third person should be able to use without pretty much any communication with the original two people that decided, like, or at least came together and said, this is how we're going to integrate between the two of us.
Hearing the process that you're describing, I think it's very similar to the process improvement work that I've always done in my career, which is the stakeholder analysis. Your first stakeholder is other developers who actually understand this technology and understand what you're doing, and to understand at the data layer, does this actually work and does this actually help you do other things that you want to do? And whereas I believe that I'm doing the non-technical stakeholder analysis to say, well, like, what are the pain points that people experience, whether it's on Noster or regular social media or just within any single application in a digital experience? What do they need to do? What get done what they need to do and for it to be easy for them? But you're looking at the, will this even work? Will it glitch the second someone else is trying to connect what we're building to something cool that they're trying to get done? Because theoretically, Nextblock and the attention marketplace is a very big idea. And we constantly get new ideas when we go to talk to anyone else about our idea. We get different use cases and all of those things. So I am really excited that you're able to tap what I believe is going to be a really smart population of developers who are going to hopefully immediately understand what we're trying to do. And then also bring in more tools and resources for you to get done what you're envisioning, and possibly maybe give us some better solutions than what we've already figured out. But we've thought this all through, but I'm just so excited. I think, you know, two brains are better than one. 25 brains are going to be better than two. It's going to be great. Like, I can't imagine, you know, 6 weeks from now, how when we reflect back on what the program has given us, I can only imagine.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an M pub. And just start with that.
Okay, babe. So we can't talk too much this episode. We can't drag it on because I got a lot of packing to do, as do you. But before we go, I wanted to do a quick Satoshi for your thoughts. There's two sides to what we're trying to do here, right? We're trying to present NextBlock as really a corporate entity, a legitimate company and business that's trying to establish a business model, a new business model for ad revenue on the new internet, all of that fun stuff, right? Very official. But Sovereign Engineering is a program for open source software, right? So how does that work for NextBlock? And the questions that you're getting, that we're getting on how we are building all of this work and eventually it'll be open source. How does that work when we're trying to go and work with these, I think, freedom tech developers that are open source everything, right? How are you reconciling that? And then how are you communicating that out to people that are asking you that question?
As a single man development shop at the moment, especially for the back end and the Nostr stuff, fundamentally, I'm just building it the way I know how to build it, which is on AWS, right? But in the design of NextBlock itself, there is an expectation that all of our pieces are open sourced. For example, we've hired people to build the front end for us. Front end in and of itself has no value, right? Like it's a design spec. In theory, someone could take the front end and hook it up to a completely different back end if they wanted to. Obviously, if you use my logo and my branding, that's different. There's no reason for that to be not open source is what I'll say. But when it comes to the back end and the infrastructure, I know there's a way to build this as an open source server that could be just as simple as like a Nostr relay, mm-hmm. right? I know that that exists, but that's not my like core competency. And so from a, like you said, from like a corporate standpoint, from a, we are a corporate entity, the thing that NextBlock offers up needs to actually have some high level of guarantees that it's going to work and scale. But that doesn't mean that someone with, once they understand what NextBlock is and how it works, couldn't build or couldn't collaborate with me on building the open source version of that. And so we've talked about this on our logo that NextBlock really has these four main pieces. We have a client, which would be the front end, which I said is open source. We have a relay, which is fundamentally half of the back end. And there's tons of relays out there that'll just need to add the fact that they can accept the notes, the note kinds that the attention marketplace is going to publish. There's, you know, agencies. So you can be like your own independent ad sales agency and you sell the ads and you put them in the system for your customers. And that interface should also be relatively open source to enable people to do that very easily. And then lastly is what we're calling the ad viewer experience. And so Billboard is really that implementation, right? It's just where you can see that these ads work. But all of those pieces of NextBlock should be open source and will be open source. But before any of that is open source, like we need to know this idea works, right? And so that's the collaboration. That's the like feedback loop that I think the Sovereign Engineering Program will really provide. And a great example of what I'm talking about is, I don't know if they'll be there, but I talked to some guys who were on Madeira at the time when I talked to them and I was explaining the attention marketplace to them. And, you know, their first reaction was, oh, you could do that with eCash. And eCash is an idea that kind of came out of Madeira and the Sovereign Engineering Program in a roundabout way. I don't know how official that is, but fundamentally, it came from, I think it's Calais, Calle. So it's like, yeah, you could do this with eCash, right? And you're more than welcome to build an implementation that does do this with eCash. You sell ads to someone, you take their money, you convert it to eCash, and you somehow pay people out with eCash, like in your client. Like that is totally, totally doable.
Unfortunately, Ian doesn't know anything about eCash.
It's not that I don't know anything about eCash. It's that I don't know enough about eCash to say that's how I'm going to solve this problem. I know how I'm going to solve this problem in V1. I know how all the pieces work. And so I know that I can stitch those services together and make a product that actually does what I say it's going to do. But I really want someone to try to do it with eCash. I really want someone to try to do it without Strike and KYC and all that fun stuff. That's what I want to do. But personally, I don't think that there is a way to do it, those things. I'm open to being like educated to the fact that there is a way, but that's the beauty of open source, right? Is like, if you can do it in an open source way and everyone can look at it and everyone can say like, yeah, that's going to work. And it's in a format and a shape that we all agree on, then anyone can take that software, run it on their own. And now boom, you can run your ad agency in any geolocation. Now you don't have to be a company in North America to participate in the attention marketplace or the promoted note network. You can take these open source pieces when they exist, spin up your own setup. You have to manage the infrastructure, right? Like you have to run all of that. But fundamentally, you can do your own thing in Suriname, right?
I think one of the really interesting things you said in one of our previous episodes was the Facebook comparison, where initially Mark Zuckerberg did do KYC through the student email addresses. Everything had to be a .edu. And then from there, it expanded and it let anyone come in and all of those things. I loved that comparison because there is an element to things being open source where people believe that they have a right to it. And we're in this interesting position with NextBlock where we're saying, yeah, we have this very big long-term vision where we believe that we could change the ad experience on the internet, but this is how we're starting. Because we need guardrails, we need things in place that really protect the money that is going to go through here to establish what this experience is and the expectations and really familiarize advertisers with what we're trying to do here. But sky is the limit eventually, but we need those guardrails right now. And it will be exciting to see if there's people that want to try something without those guardrails and possibly they're more risk averse or they're figuring out something that helps them mitigate the risks in a different way than we have. There is a attitude that I've seen on Noster, not for us, for our projects, but the way that people talk about other things that developers are trying to fix. Like a developer will say, hey guys, I have this idea. Here you go. You can see what I built. I busted this out. And just the way that people react to posts like that or notes like that is so fascinating to me because I'm like, how are you criticizing or trying to direct how someone else is doing this little side project that they've done for themselves as if they work for you? But that's the energy of the open source community almost. I'm excited to just step into it while also being able to say like, oh, that's a cool idea, but this is the approach we're taking. This is what we're doing this year, possibly in the future more as possible. Please come to us with these ideas, but these are the decisions that we've made. And we've talked about this at length, but because this is our company, this is our money, we're not using anyone else's money to build this. For now, it's what we want. We do things the way that we want to do them, but we're able to pick the brains of so many other smart people that are also building incredibly cool stuff on Noster. I'm very excited.
An easier way to say this is that for you and people that aren't very technically inclined, you're getting a taste of what it is to work in an engineering department. There's always somebody who goes home on a Friday, bangs out something, comes in on Monday and goes, hey guys, look what I did. Mm-hmm. I would say that there's a direct correlation to how long you've been in engineering to how seriously you take that project or how seriously you take what this person says. I used to work with this guy, Connor, and I don't think that guy ever slept, but Connor would go home on Friday, pretty much work all weekend and come in on Monday and be like, okay, I read this blog post and this is what I did. And we would all look at him like, okay, I guess, but like, we didn't even read the blog post that you're talking about to even judge whether or not this is good, right? He just liked to code. He liked trying new things. And I always supported that. I'm like, okay, show me. Like, I'm curious. Maybe I understand, maybe I don't. But yeah, you know, to not be confined to an office, to not be confined to like, well, we all have to work for the same company for me to make that statement. It's now just Monday morning and anyone can share with the entire Noster network. And because it's such a small group of people, a lot of people see it if they're looking.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, again, directly correlated to probably how long you've been in engineering. I don't respond to any of that stuff. I just go, okay, if it gains some legs or some traction, sure. But I know that most things that were worked on a weekend need to be worked on for multiple weekends.
A while ago, recently, but a while ago, someone said, hey guys, I just spun up a TikTok version of a Noster client. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to Ian. I was like, oh my God, they did a TikTok version. Let's see how they did it, this and that. And I went and I looked and it was just so nothing. It was good. I mean, I guess it looked okay, but you can't just spin up a TikTok version of a Noster client. Like there's so many things that go on the back end that we know to actually show that full screen video experience, be able to scroll. Like it's easier said than done, obviously. But I just thought it was really cool that that person was like trying it out. But my immediate reaction was, wow, this is going to be really cool. And I clicked it and I was like, oh, this is really nothing. They just threw something together. But I understand why they were trying to take their hand at like what could come out of this. It's really not what we're trying to do here, which is so much more thought out.
I mean, there's been two, so I don't know which one you're specifically referring to, but it doesn't matter for my response. And I say this with love, but I think it's been established that there's not a strong user base of TikTokers on Noster. And so someone saying I created a TikTok Noster client is really saying I've created a Noster client that has filtered down to a specific kind and only shows mm-hmm. you that kind of note.
Yeah.
TikTok is a business. It's a experience, and the interface is just a part of that. And this is why, you know, Noster is, in my opinion, not so much struggling. It's having a hard time breaking through as like a differentiator, because we're basically just copying what already exists, saying it's a replacement for it, and then having a less than 1% of the actual user base of that thing that makes it good, right? It's the large user base that makes these social networks good. When you have like the same influential people having to split their time between, you know, five different Noster experiences, like, oh, and I'm, again, it is what it is, but like, oh, hey, Jack, post on the new TikTok thing. Oh, hey, Jack, post on the new Insta, right? Like, it's like, please validate these replicas of other things that have now been created on Noster. And that's just not how the original things became popular. They became popular because regular people used them.
And they were fresh and new experiences. It wasn't a replication of a previous experience.
And that fresh and new concept is what I think Noster is just now getting into. Like, we got our feet under us about what are like the basic social media types of data so that we could have social in any app that integrates Noster. And I think that was like the first 3 to 4 years of Noster. And now I think Nextblock would probably be an example of that. But there's some other things that I'm kind of like paying attention to that are kind of stepping out of that, like, we're going to make a better social media experience. And it's like, no, we're going to make an experience that is made better because social is in it. And we're going to not try to create our own social network, but we're going to integrate this thing called Noster. I think that's going to be the path forward, because no one has money to like stand up and compete against a TikTok or a Facebook just head on. Like, you have to create a unique experience and then expose those people to, oh, and we have social, but don't worry about that. Like, it's not ours. We're using like this global social network, not our own siloed social network.
Yeah. And I think it'll be really cool to be around a group of developers and people that are trying to build on Noster for us to be able to share our perspective on all of this. We've been able to do some of that in the traveling that we've done, but to really be somewhere for 6 weeks and be able to talk things out, I'm really excited to develop working relationships with other developers, because you're the only one that I've really been able to talk to and pick their brains. But on that note, I wanted to really give a shout out to the universe, because I feel like the universe has been guiding Ian and us and making sure that we're able to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish through Nextblock and the attention marketplace, but also for our lives. So about 9 months ago, Ian quit his job. In that time, things happened with Bitcoin, if you've been paying attention, really making it possible for us to move forward and not have fear and be entrepreneurs. Now that I've quit my job, suddenly the universe reminded us, hey, Madeira is waiting for you. You can go. At the same time, we are so far on schedule to launch Billboard in May. Everything is coming together on that project. We have a lot of amazing people that are on the Nextblock team helping us get it done, moving forward with a lot of passion. And concurrently, our son just turned 2. And with the community in our village that's been helping us raise him, we were able to celebrate with everyone this past weekend. Last week, I was walking in our neighborhood. I already posted this on Noster, but not sure a lot of people saw it because there's no algorithm. But we have these little libraries where people outside of their house have these little, almost like mini treehouse mailbox looking things where people can just put books in there and you can grab one if you want it. So I walked by and I said, let me just see. You know, it's a couple of doors down from our house, but I never look in there. I looked in there. The first book I pulled out was a potty training book for boys. And one of the things we're going to try to do on this trip in Madeira is potty train our son. My mom and I were planning on doing it. So I saw this book. It is the cutest little book. And I thought, oh my God, it's a potty training book for Keon. I reach in again, and there's a book for how to talk to your developers.
Written by the CEO of Twilio.
Is that not crazy? And so I took these books, I looked at them, and I went home and I thought, the universe is continuing to give me everything that I need. instead of moving with fear, maintain that abundance mentality. Know that if something is not serving you, abandon it and move forward with what is actually giving you value in your life. And that was first the decision for Ian to quit his job. Us not necessarily having a plan, having a couple of ideas flying around. I mean, we were even thinking, oh, maybe we just go all in on the podcast, right? Ian and I are pretty casual about this podcast. If you listen, you know that, you know, but we had this idea for the attention marketplace, or maybe Ian just goes, gets another job, but this was not serving him anymore. This job was not serving him anymore. And then from there, all of the other decisions that we've made, every single time the universe saying, don't worry, just keep moving forward. I got your back. And it felt so crazy to have those two books in my hands after I quit my job and to think, this is knowledge in my hands. I just need to absorb. And once I get this done, the universe will give me what I need next.
That is a great way to look at it.
So I'm really excited. I cannot wait to see what else the universe has in store for us. I am grateful to be on this journey with you, Ian. None of this would have happened without you, but I also know none of this would have happened without me. So you're very lucky to have me.
Thanks, universe.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an amp up, and just start with that.